This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 16th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, where we are as a nation on developing hydrogen fuel cell automobiles. We'll get a check on our forecast for the weekend as well from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. The Illinois Attorney General is asking for a federal investigation into how Ameren and Commonwealth Edison arrived at the new electricity rates they're charging customers. In the formal complaint, she also asks that the feds suspend those high prices and bring them back to more reasonable levels. Attorney General Lisa Madigan says millions of Illinois residents are paying prices for power that are double the cost of producing electricity. Ben Weinberg is the Attorney General's Chief of Consumer Affairs. He says after a lengthy investigation, the office found evidence of price manipulation. Weinberg says once they see the evidence, the feds would agree.
When they look at the prices, we are confident that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission will conclude that those prices are unjust and unreasonable.
The complaint alleges that the state's two largest utility companies, Ameren and ComEd, colluded with some of the power generators to set prices artificially high. Ameren, ComEd, and the State Commerce Commission all have maintained the bidding process last fall was fair. The action comes as lawmakers continue to debate what to do about the high power rates, which in some cases went up by 300% in January. Searchers are still looking for an 8-year-old boy, but they found the bodies of a father and son from Normal, who disappeared along with the boy on Clinton Lake. Kim Knight of the State Department of Natural Resources says the bodies of 59-year-old Richard Hunter and 29-year-old Jason Hunter were found yesterday at the base of a spillway near the wreckage of an aluminum boat. Richard Hunter's grandson, Kalen, is still missing. A longtime top aide to George Ryan received a 4-month sentence reduction. Scott Faywell switched sides and became the star witness in the former governor's racketeering trial. A federal judge stopped short of the 6-month sentence reduction that prosecutors said they would accept as Faywell's reward. Judge Pallmeyer said she didn't think that Faywell should get the full reduction because she received an undeserved $195,000 a year job from Ryan. Faywell's now serving a 6.5-year sentence. He was Ryan's chief of staff in the Secretary of State's office for 8 years. He was convicted by a jury in 2003 of racketeering in the Secretary of State's office. He pleaded guilty the next year to rigging bids when he was head of the Chicago Pier and Exposition Authority. The Illinois Senate is on the record now as opposed to sending more American troops to Iraq. Sean Crawford reports.
The non-binding measure was quickly approved on a voice vote with no roll call. No Republicans spoke in favor of President Bush's plan to increase troops, and few would talk afterward. The subdued tone of what can be a contentious discussion was a surprise to many in the Senate chamber. Chicago Democrat Ricky Hendon says he kept partisanship out of the resolution.
Well, I didn't place blame on President Bush, and I think that they appreciate the fact that I did not place blame. I mean, I could have, but I wanted a resolution that would pass, not to make a statement.
Hendon's measure only says the Illinois Senate believes it's not in the country's best interest to deepen military involvement in Iraq. An earlier version that never came up for a vote called for immediate troop withdrawal. Springfield Republican Larry Bomke says the legislation is a waste of time.
For us to have an impact on what the federal government is going to do is not very likely.
Bomke and other Republicans say the measure passed before they even realized what it said. I'm Sean Crawford.
If preliminary results of a special census are confirmed, the official population of Champaign will surpass 75,000 people. City leaders spent $115,000 on a special canvas of subdivisions that have been annexed into the city since the last official census in 2000. Eric Catava of the city's finance department says the benefit will outweigh the cost.
Instead of waiting until the next decennial census, which is in 2010, we made a decision to go ahead and do a special right about the middle of the decade here so that we can update the incomes and really kind of make up, you know, for services that have had to be stretched to growing areas of town. And so we have income to cover that.
Catava says the city would receive about $1 million more each year from the state and federal governments because of the population boost. That would help pay for services that he says have been spread thin by the city's expansion. The special census found an additional 7,680 people within the city limits since 2000. The Champaign County YMCA's plans to move to Southwest Champaign are worrying supporters of its McKinley facility near downtown. They met with Y officials last night at a meeting organized by Champaign City officials. AM580's Jim Meadows reports.
Many of those at the meeting said they grew up attending the McKinley Family Y and appreciate its proximity today. Gil Terryberry is a McKinley Y neighbor and member. He calls it a downtown asset, and he worries about the impact of its closing.
We compete with the suburbs for business traffic. We compete with the suburbs in a lot of different ways. We have West Side Park. We have festivals. We have the Y, which is a big piece of it.
Terryberry attended last night's community meeting at the McKinley Y. There he heard Champaign County YMCA Executive Director Wade Hampton say they can no longer afford to operate two facilities, especially the McKinley Y with its high maintenance costs. He says their only choice is to sell the McKinley Y, close the Y on Country Fair Drive, and build a new single facility on donated land in southwest Champaign. A task force is being formed to explore ways to bring Y programs or similar ones to downtown Champaign and surrounding neighborhoods after the McKinley Y closes. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Hydrogen fuel cells have been billed as the next big thing for cutting down on vehicle emissions. Cars that run on these fuel cells emit only water. Automakers are investing heavily in the technology, and there are still some major obstacles. But as Dustin Dwyer of the Environment Report tells us, there's at least one big advantage for automakers to push fuel cells.
Of course, automakers want to be seen working on something that could be good for the environment. And people in the industry will tell you there are a number of reasons for pushing fuel cells. But there's one reason that might matter more than all the others.
Money, money, money.
Yep, money. And if you don't believe ABBA, you can just take it from Larry Burns. He's the head of research and development at General Motors. GM says it spent more than $1 billion developing fuel cell technology. That's money a company like GM can't afford to waste. At a recent energy symposium, Burns broke it all down and talked about the real reason GM is involved in the technology.
First of all, we want to accelerate industry growth for business reasons. In fact, if I was up here telling you we were doing it for reasons other than business reasons, you shouldn't take me sincerely.
So, what are those business reasons? For Larry Burns, it starts with the fact that today only 12% of people worldwide own a car. To get the other 88%, Burns says future vehicles need to be cheap and clean. Some will debate whether hydrogen vehicles would truly be clean. They say at best, hydrogen just shifts the pollution upstream to the power plant. As for the cheap part, that's also a problem. Right now, prototype fuel cell cars cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to make. But fuel cells do have a few things going for them on the cost front. Take Ford's new high-series drive hybrid Edge prototype. Engineer Mujib Ijaz looks under the hood.
So I guess the first thing that you'll notice when you look under the hood of the Edge is that it doesn't have a lot of equipment here. In fact, it's quite empty.
It's empty because all the important stuff, including the fuel cell, is tucked in a sleek package hidden underneath the vehicle. The fuel cell itself is only about 6 inches high and about as big around as a coffee table. That's an incredibly simple design compared to today's complicated and clunky internal combustion engines.
There's a lot of technology that goes into it, but from a fundamental standpoint, when you lay out a fuel cell and you lay out an engine, we're not dealing with a lot of unique parts.
So unlike an engine that has to be machined and assembled in different ways for most vehicles around the world, a fuel cell only has a few parts that get stacked together the same way every time. That means once they ramp up to mass production, fuel cells could save automakers a lot of, well,
money. It's a gas.
But before automakers can save all that fuel cell money, they still have to answer all the questions about where the hydrogen itself comes from, how to get it into gas stations, and how to store it in the vehicle. Automakers say they can make it work, but not everyone agrees. Joseph Rome is an expert on energy issues, and he says a lot of the problems with hydrogen fuel cells might be out of automakers' hands.
Each of them probably requires a major technology breakthrough, and you just don't know. You might see a breakthrough in 5 years. You might not see a breakthrough for 50 years.
Rome wrote a book called The Hype About Hydrogen. He says fuel cells have long been thought to be just over the horizon.
Fuel cells are always just 10 or 20 years away, And so it allows a car company to seem like they're doing something for the environment without actually having to do anything.
Rome says he'd bet on better battery technology and biofuels to cut down on gas use. But regardless of who's right, what's clear is that the auto industry could be on the verge of a revolutionary change, one that could be good news for the environment, the end of the internal combustion engine. But it won't happen just to make people feel good or to save the environment. It'll happen for a reason you can bank on.
Money, 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 money.
For the Environment Report, I'm Dustin Dwyer.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
The weekend is looking rather seasonable as far as weather goes. A chance of some rain showers by the time we hit the end of the weekend. Our forecast for today across the two states, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser, a mix of clouds and sunshine, and highs ranging from 38 in the north to 52 in southern Illinois. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, the lows from 19 degrees in far northern Illinois to 29 far south. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and highs ranging from 36 in northeast Indiana to near 50 degrees in far southern Illinois. Looking ahead to Sunday in Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy, a chance of a few showers late in the day, and a high of 48. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.